The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland with you. We hope you're having a good hump day. Wednesday is always a good day to come and to go. But today we're excited about another guest. Alex, we do mostly Bible study, so when we have a week where we have guests on, it's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and I'm especially excited about the not only the person, but the topic.
Well, let's get right into it, because we love to go straight into it on Exploring the Word, because we've got this hour and we like to make the most of it. A year and a half ago, EngageMagazine.net became a part of the American Family Association. It was a group of millennials who work here at AFA, and they knew they wanted to reach their generation with real, I would say, the meat of the reality of Christ, who he is, and the reality of the Bible. And so they began to work and talk, and they presented their presentation to Tim Wildman, our president, and to the board. And everybody got on, and I'm telling you what, God has used them in a significant way. And let me, before I introduce Amen. It, you just need to go to EngageMagazine.net, and you'll find some great articles. And today, one of those guys, it's a leader in the group, is Teddy James, who's been on Exploring the Word quite a few times. Welcome, TJ.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to be here, Brother Bert and Alex. Thank y'all.
Well, Alex, I want to get it started, and I know you have a question or two concerning him, but what we're not only talking about Engage Magazine, which we want you to be involved in and know about, but they're involved in the second year of what we call the Orange Letter Campaign. Last year, they did that, and now they're doing it again this year. TJ, take just a little bit, and I know then Alex will want to ask you a question or two, but take a little bit about what happened last year
sure.
and what it is, and make the transition to what we're doing this year.
Absolutely. So last year in February, everybody will remember, ISIS marched out 21 men in orange jumpsuits. They marched them out onto a beach in Libya, and then they filmed them martyring them. Now, 20 of these men were professed Coptic Christians from Egypt. The 21st man, I've heard some different accounts, but I've heard a few accounts that he was actually a Muslim to begin with. But when they got to him, they said, okay, you can say the, whatever the creed of the Islamic faith is. And he said, their God is my God. And he died as a Christian martyr by all accounts. And what we did, we partnered with E3 Partners and also with 838, a guy named Tom Doyle. And he had some connections there in Egypt, and he had actually met with the family members of these martyrs, the surviving family members. And he said, you know, wouldn't it be really neat if your supporters could send letters to these family members? And so that's what happened last year during the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We did a big campaign. We were on Exploring the Word. We were on several other programs and invited people, send in your letters. And they did. Over 2,000 letters went to these family members, and they said, we had no idea anybody even knew about us. So after it was all said and done, Tom Doyle and I got together and said, okay, we're going to start working toward next year. And we did. And so now our focus, and we're going to get into this later, but just to say this, we're going to Syria, into the land that has been embattled in civil war for over 7 years. And we have an opportunity to send letters to them. And if you want to go ahead and send your letter, you can send it to the email orange@afa.net.
Okay. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, TJ, you know, the fact that you all at Engage and many of your peers would do this illustrates to me something I've known for a while, that millennials are people who like to get involved. Millennials are people who don't mind rolling up their sleeves and getting their hands dirty on behalf of the gospel. And in my experience, millennials are a group that are eager to make a difference. Now, how can we as a church, use that to build a bridge to the gospel?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of ways, but one of the biggest ones is put the gospel into action. We always tend to look for campaigns like the Orange Letter campaign, or we look for some, you know, big movement that we want to get involved with. But really, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is in the small things. It's being involved in the community. It's, sharing the gospel with those in your sphere of influence. And so if we continually say, here is the truth of the gospel, here's the depth and the beauty of the gospel, and here's how we live that out, we put it into action, and when we show millennials this is how we live this out, that is what will really build that bridge, because they'll see that it's not just a set of beliefs, but it is a belief that changes your worldview, and in changing your worldview, it changes your actions.
TJ, you mentioned the E3 partners, Tom mm-hmm. Doyle. There's a book that it would be good for folks to read. I've read some of it. I haven't read all of it. But tell us a little bit about that book. And that book might be an encouragement for folks to say, man, I need to pray and write.
Absolutely. So the book is called Killing Christians, Living the Faith Where It's Not Safe to Believe. Killing Christians, Living the Faith Where It's Not Safe to Believe. And like you said, Tom Doyle did write that. He wrote that a couple of years ago. But basically what he did was he interviewed a bunch of believers that are experiencing persecution. And each chapter is a different story. So they're not necessarily connected, although some of them are. But what struck me when I read that book was that no matter what happened, these Christians experienced victory. And sometimes that victory meant the deliverance from their persecution through, going into a refugee center, through various different means. Sometimes that victory meant death, and they were okay with that. And so just their story of faith and their unwavering faith in the person of Jesus Christ absolutely wrecked my world. It wrecked my worldview and caused me, okay, God, not only how can I pray, but what can I do? And in fact, it's kind of what led to us reaching out to Tom and then got the whole, you know, Orange Letter last year kicked off. I would say, you know, everybody, every believer needs to read Killing Christians, Living the Faith Where It's Not Safe to Believe. And you can find that at Amazon. It's okay there.
Well, with that in mind, refugees, I've gotten to meet some. Both of you guys know that. On weekends, I have a program where I co-host Exploring Missions, and my co-host is Nathan Harper. He's my son, and he's worked with several refugees from Syria, refugees that are there. And the reality is those that stay, and there are those that stay in Syria. Mm-hmm. They believe God called them there.
I've got a story about that in a minute, too.
And that's the letter that we're writing to. We're writing letters to those that are staying there. Is that correct?
Absolutely, it is. And so just to let you know of the kind of the situation that the people in Syria are under right now, this is a story that Tom tells in Killing Christians, but it's so apt here. So there's this group of believers. It started out with just an underground church with 10 people. And they all decided, okay, the borders in Syria are about to close, and we each need to decide whether we're going to stay or whether we're going to go. And so what they decided to do was to spend 7 days apart, and they were going to go and they were going to fast and pray to see if they were individually called to stay or leave. If one was chosen to leave, the group would help them get outside of the country. For those who would stay inside the country, those who did leave would find ways to bring in supplies and anything that they needed. Well, when the pastor came back into this room, which was a room hidden in a back alley, because of course they couldn't be out in the open in Syria, when the pastor walked through, he heard more voices than the 9 people he was expecting, and he thought, oh no, we've been caught, and I'm walking into a trap. But he held his head high. He decided if his people were going to be killed, he was going to be killed with them, and he walked through the door, and there stood 25 people. And the group had grown because people had been converted in that 1 week. And as they went around and began discussing what they felt God was calling them to do, each one of them said, we're staying in Syria. We're going to stay. Our fate is in the hand of God. And if we live, we live. And if we die, we die. But our fate is in the hand of God. So what they ended up doing, all 25 stayed. They pulled their money together, and a few blocks away, there was an empty plot of land, and they all bought that plot of land and said, this is our graveyard. When we die for the gospel, this is where we will be buried. I talked to Tom 2 days ago, and he said, as of 2 days ago, that graveyard is still empty.
So they're still living.
They're still living, and they are still proclaiming the gospel.
And we have the opportunity to write letters to get to these Christians to encourage them.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, and you know, yes, we're targeting millennials with this, but it's for, we are begging anybody and everybody to send in letters to orange@afa.net. But there's another story that is interesting, that is equally amazing and just done by the hand of God. There's a church here in America that's going to receive these letters. Now, this is an Arabic-speaking church. They're going to receive each one of these letters. They're going to translate it into the heart language. So they're going to make sure that what you say is understood by the Christians in Syria. And then the letters are going to be carried in Arabic. They're going to be carried over to Syria, where they'll be hand-delivered to pastors. And so the opportunity that you have right now is to send a letter to orange@afa.net. It's going to be translated and delivered to Christians in Syria. Now, one thing that we do ask, because we are using people and not software, we're asking that the letters be fairly short. So we're asking that we keep them to about 150 words. You can include your name, where you're from, a piece of encouraging scripture, and then just a prayer over them.
Okay. And TJ, this is Alex. I was going to say it would be great to include a scripture, a Bible verse, because a lot of these people don't have a Bible of their own, and this a word of God within that letter would be a great encouragement to them, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and the fact that they could then hold on to a piece of scripture, you know, it would absolutely mean the world to them. And so anything that you find encouraging, be sure to include that. And my thing is this, don't include just a citation, you know, like we may say John 3:16, write it out. Let that be in the words.
Amen. Well, if you want to know more, you can go to engagemagazine.net, and there's an article by our guest today, Teddy James.
Yes, sir.
And it's about the Orange Letter Campaign.
Yeah, and we have another one up right now that is written by Jordan Shambly, and it talks about the eternal perspective of persecution and how our persecution is not going to last forever. God has a plan for it, but also God receives glory through our persecution, and it's just something for us to keep in mind.
Amen. Well, TJ, we appreciate you, appreciate what you do. You're writing in the journal, and you do the Engage magazine. So,
and we have a radio program.
Radio, tell us about the radio program. Yeah.
Sure. So Engage Radio, we air on Saturdays at 5:30, and we've had both Alex and Brother Bert on our program. It's a 30-minute program. We're basically, the purpose of Engage is to share truth and apply scripture in everything that we do, and the radio program is no exception to that. We take an idea, a theme of scripture, and we discuss that in the first segment, and then the second segment, we talk about here's how we take that and we apply it. So
that's you and Wesley Wildman,
me
right?
And Wesley Wildman, and we bring in guests because we need people a lot smarter than us.
Well, you got you guys. You got radio cut here on Exploring the Word, both
that's
of you
it.
Guys.
Absolutely, we did. We cut our teeth on Exploring the Word.
Mm-hmm. Well, TJ, it's good to have you. Alex, listen, you and I both are excited, and I know you are. We got about, I'd say 30 seconds. Would you mind just saying a prayer and ask God to just direct this, brother?
Let's do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for the gospel that reaches all generations, and we thank you for Engage. EngageMagazine.net, the big conference coming up in March, and yes, the Orange Letter Writing Campaign, that this generation, in a very innovative, very fruitful way, is being reached with the gospel. So keep your hand upon it, favor it, and glorify your name through Engage Magazine. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Again, thank you, Alex. TJ, thank you for being with us.
Sir.
And God bless you, and may He continue to use you. And we look forward to hear more than 2,000 letters this time.
Absolutely. That's our prayer.
Okay. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We're going to take your phone calls and try to answer your questions here on Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Merry Christmas from 8 Days of Hope. We want to thank you, the American Family Radio listener, for supporting 8 Days of Hope as we serve disaster victims in 2016. Volunteers from across the country that heard about 8 Days of Hope on AFR came to Texas and Louisiana, South Carolina, and West Virginia to help out flood victims. You came to Mississippi to help out flood victims and tornado victims. And then in October, we happened to be in South Carolina where Hurricane Matthew hit. And we had thousands of people there that were willing to help and serve and love others who needed our assistance. Thank you for your volunteering. Thank you for your financial support. But most of all, Thank you for your prayers for 8 Days of Hope. Please continue to pray for 8 Days of Hope as we move to 2017. We hope that you and your family have a Merry Christmas and a joyous New Year.
That's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope, a ministry partner of the American Family Association. You can learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
When I needed a little encouragement to do my chores, my mom sometimes said, "Come on, the trash won't take itself out." Well, Dr. Tony Evans says this same truth applies to the litter in our spiritual lives. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Thursday's my day when the trash man comes. They used to come twice a week. Now they just come on Thursday. Financial restrictions have placed them to a one-day-a-week pickup. But I've never had a trash man come knock on my door and ask, "Where's your trash?" I've never had that happen. I've never had a trash man say, "Where is your garbage? I have come to collect it." They don't knock on my door. I got to carry it to them. But when I carry the burden of my trash to them, they got a pickup time. But see, a lot of times I delay because we have a trash masher, which means I can flatten it out to add more trash in it. That's called trash management. And a lot of us are in the trash management. Instead of coming to Jesus, we just try to create more space, try to do better. I got so much stuff. Let me pack this down to see if I can put some more stuff on it. That's called garbage management. But Jesus said, if you come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're weary, weighed down, the afflictions of life, the pains of life, the mistakes of life, the regrets of life, the hurts of life, the anguish of life, it's weighing down on you and you can't lift it anymore. He says, come to me. All you who are hurt, weary.
If you've asked Jesus to forgive your sins and be the Lord of your life, you can find out more about what that means by visiting us at tonyevans.org and clicking on the word Jesus at the top of the page. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, we'll examine Time Magazine naming Trump as their Person of the Year and what we are learning from the magazine's interview with the president-elect. Plus, Clarion Project's counterterrorism analyst Ryan Morrow on the selections for Secretary of Defense and Homeland Security. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper with you, and we had our guest about the Orange Letter Campaign. Teddy James was with us, and if you want to be involved at that, again, you can go to engagemagazine.net and you can find out what to do, and then you can write that letter, and we hope you will. It will encourage those that are hurting, those that are being persecuted, those in Syria. The number, if you want to call, our lines are open, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Alex, I was looking at passage of scripture that would, I think, encourage us to for those believers that are in Syria that are being persecuted in other areas around the world, and the book of Peter, 1 Peter especially, written to those that are part of the pilgrims or strangers that were part of the dispersion or the scattering because of persecution. And I just wanted to read verses 5, 6, and 7. Maybe a little more of 1 Peter 1. Let me do that, and then you comment on it while we wait for our callers to state out their questions. It says, "These are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Our brothers and sisters that are hurting around the world, we need to be mindful of them and pray for them, don't we?
We really do. You know, we're all really exiles and pilgrims on this journey, aren't we?
We really are. But there are you notice the word various trials. It, in other words, different levels of trials.
Yeah. It lists Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. If I'm pronouncing those anywhere near correctly, I don't know that I am or aren't. But a lot of people say this is where, there were Christians, and the people that carried Peter's letter, went through these places. So these were like to all the Christians, and I think they're applicable to us today. Because, there's an old gospel song that says, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger traveling through this wearisome land. You ever heard that old song?
I have. I recognize that. And so we when Jesus sent them out, remember, he sent them out two by two to encourage one another, to hold each other accountable, a lot of reasons. So we want to encourage, and I pray that this message, this program, is an encouragement to you. But after you've been encouraged, it's kind of like the comfort. We're to comfort with those, with the comfort that we've been comforted with. We're also to encourage others because others have encouraged us. It should be a ripple effect, shouldn't it?
Well, it should. It should. And by the way, I believe the Word of God is such an encouragement and such a motivator and so inspiring and, yes, informative. A lot of people, every now and then we'll get a question about the Trinity. Look at verse 2 of 1 Peter 1. The exiles scattered who've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, you've got the Trinity there, don't you, Bert?
You do. And praise the Lord. Listen, the doctrine of salvation and of God, Christology, the Trinitarian, it is all through the Scriptures. And praise the Lord. If you can't understand the Trinity, you just say, okay, Lord, this is bigger than me, but I believe it because you teach it. And so don't wreck your brain trying to understand something that is a little bit beyond us, Alex,
Well, and let me say, I want to put in a big plug for the Apostle Peter. He was a lowly fisherman, yes, and a lot of times we hear preaching about how Peter was, kind of spoke his mind and apparently, would say whatever he came up with, I'm guilty of that too, but, I can't wait to meet Peter because, for one thing, 1st and 2nd Peter has deep, deep theology. I mean, if you look at verses 3 through 10, well, 3 through 12, I mean, again, you get the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And but you remember in John chapter 6 where Jesus was teaching some hard teachings and he said, are you all going to go away too? And Peter said, Lord, where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter proclaimed, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So I can't wait to meet Peter because I think he's almost right up there, a thinker like the Apostle Paul.
I agree with you. And while others were in the boat, he was walking on the water toward Jesus.
He did.
Amen.
He did.
Hey, we got callers on, so let's go. Alex and I could go on and on here, so we draw it to a close so we can hear from you. So let's go to Louisiana and talk to Larry Joe. Larry Joe, welcome again to Exploring the Word.
Hey, brothers. I got a question. I've been, reading in the Bible about the devil coming before God over in Job, and then Christ said he saw him fall like a bolt of lightning and various, and where he appears. And I've been trying to figure out exactly how, is there a timeline there, from the time that Satan that God threw him out of heaven, and then, where he's appeared before. I tried to put it in a timeline, and I my mind just couldn't get around it, and I didn't know how to program it to get a question. So I thought I'd wait till today and let y'all answer it.
Thank you, Larry Joe. Alex and I appreciate the questions that others can't answer, and you give it to us, and we try. Let me say this, Alex. That has been asked. So when The big issue is, when did this happen that Satan rebelled against God the Father, wanted to lift his throne to be equal or really above the throne of God, and was cast out with a third of the angels? Did it happen before creation here upon earth, or maybe right after creation? Do you have a thought on that, brother?
Well, you know, the Bible doesn't specifically give the timeline, although two very important scriptures. One, and it's easy to remember, because think of 14 and you double it and you got 28.
Yep.
Think of Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Now, in Isaiah 14, very interesting scripture, says, you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. Look at verse 13 of Isaiah 14. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit in the mount of the assembly. Now, Ezekiel 28 talks about the king of Tyre. That's a kind of a symbolic way of referencing Lucifer. And it says, you were the sign of perfection, full of wisdom and beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. So, Bert, as far as I know, and this is what Dr. Harold Wilmington of Liberty taught, brilliant scholar, but apparently Lucifer and his followers were cast out of heaven. Remember Luke 10, verse 18, Jesus said, I saw Satan cast out of heaven like a bolt of lightning. I believe it was sometime prior to the creation. And then as creation happened and here man was made in God's image, here's what I believe. Satan could not kill God. So he's tried to harm and make war and destroy the ones made in God's image. So creation happened. Apparently back in the shadows, Lucifer and his demons were watching. And they couldn't harm God, but they've certainly tried to harm the ones made in God's image.
Okay. Again, that's as good. Larry Joe, you have some that will try to do this, and they call it, and I don't want to go through this, and so we got most of her questions, so it won't bring this up, the gap theory, which there was basically two. God created it, and Satan failed and destroyed it, and God had to remake it. So there's those that have that. I don't agree with that.
And Alex, I don't believe
the
gap theory.
Yeah, we do not believe that. But people have tried to put all this together to have a timeline. Sometimes, let me just share with you, you have to live without the timeline in things concerning the past, okay? You just will not get a complete answer. And with all my heart, Alex, I think you did a great job with doing that.
I think even more than the when is the why.
Yes.
And why did Satan fall, and why were they cast out of heaven? Because of the sin of pride, wasn't it?
It was. And so, again, just if people ask you some of these questions, don't let the questions that are difficult and hard, that really you don't have a solid answer, a complete answer, drive you away from God. Let it drive you to Him. That's what it's done for me. It's letting me know, hey, God, I trust you. I'm like it. You've already referred to John 6, Alex. To whom would we go? You have the words of life.
That's right.
We may not know it all, but it's still got the best answers that are available today. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Jerry. Jerry, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, is this Baptist Hospital?
This is him. I'm telling you, people that watch me preach, they know that. Jerry, I have to subdue myself on the radio, and Alex does as well. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I saw you guys unsubdued at the gathering that we had in Fayetteville at Covenant Loves.
Okay,
God bless you.
Amen, brother. Yes.
I think they would try to put you guys down in the seat and put seatbelts on you. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I have to.
And I just want to tell you guys, I love you guys so much. I listen to you every single day. You guys are on my prayer list, and we would not be the people that we are today without you guys on the radio.
Wow, Jerry,
God
thank
bless you,
man.
You, brother.
Go ahead. I just, when I think of the responsibility, Alex, and I want you to respond to this, of the responsibility that you have in sharing the word. Yes, it's a privilege, But I am telling you, the biggest part of it is responsibility. That we do our best, and Alex and I do, we do our best to take the Bible and let it say what the Bible says as best we can. Yes, we're limited. Yes, we've got our own indecisiveness about certain things, but we know that we can trust the Bible, and we can make much of Jesus, can't we?
We can. And brother, thank you. You're such an encouragement. You know what, Bert? I was being interviewed this morning on another network, completely different network than AFR, but I was being interviewed. Well, somebody heard me and called in and began to say, oh, we love exploring the Word. You know, Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, with all of our heart, folks, we give God the glory. Because Bert and I are just two guys. We love Jesus. We love the Word. But we do know that really, I think the key to the solid Christian life is the Scripture. I mean, just like an athlete would need good nutrition, and you know, the car's got to run on good fuel, the Christian runs on the Word of God. Jesus said that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I think part of this is we love the Word of God, don't we?
Amen. And it's unsearchable. The most amazing thing to me is how I can read and read and read, and then I'll read it for the 10th time and see something that I'd never seen before out of God's Word. It is astonishing. Jerry, thank you, brother, and we enjoyed being in Fayetteville. We really did.
Fayetteville was so awesome.
Amen. And we're going to be in Oklahoma City in March. Is that right, for something
that's
similar?
That's right. And I've got a prayer request, folks. Bert and I were approached several months ago by a publisher about writing a book, a Bible commentary, and we're going to work on that. And that's one of my things in 2017 is to make sure that project gets off the ground. So just, folks, keep that in prayer. We'll keep you posted. It's a long ways off, but just the Bert and Alex Guide to Studying the Bible, that's a book that is very probably going to come out down the road.
So. And if Bert has anything to do with it, we'll be practical. I can tell you that, where it's readable, I guarantee you. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Todd. Todd, welcome.
Hey, thanks, brothers.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to make it quick. 2 Peter 3 says, where is the promise of his coming? And later on in the scripture says, the son of Beor is Balaam. You know, he was a mad prophet. Now, who is this mad prophet? I mean, is he some similar to what Muhammad was?
Okay.
I'm going to hang up and listen to you, brother.
Okay. Is that Balaam, Alex, that we're talking about here?
I think so.
Well, he was a prophet that tried to gain wealth through his giftedness that he had. He was gifted, Alex. And he had some calling, but he wanted wealth with that, and he wanted to abuse it, didn't he?
Well, you know, it says this. It says that there are going to be scoffers that come in the last days walking after their lust, and it talks about those that are the false teachers. And, you know, there have always been people that compromised. Now, I want to give you two words, orthodoxy and orthopraxy. Now, orthodoxy is true teaching. Orthopraxy is true action, living righteously. And there have always been people that compromised one or both of those. Some twist the Word of God. Some live unrighteously. And that's why you were talking about 2 Peter 3. It says, therefore, beloved, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness.
We'll be back with your questions.
Have you ever wanted to change but didn't know how? Growing up, I often heard the phrase, people change, but rarely. At 22, when I came to know Jesus, I knew that many things in my life needed to change. Thankfully, the Bible tells us there is hope for change in all of us. In fact, there are over 200 verses talking about how we think. God tells us that change comes as we change the way we think. We are told to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, and that we have the mind of Christ. As you go about your day today, would you ask the Lord to change you from the inside out as you seek His face and believe His words today? This is Andrea Griffith, wife, mother, and follower of Jesus for OneCry.com.
It's our first liberty, freedom of religion. An easy way to show your support for the First Amendment is with the Freedom of Religion buttons from the American Family Association. They're conversation starters and demonstrate what it means to have religious freedom in America. They're also a way to bring attention to how the First Amendment is under assault today. It needs support now more than ever. Get a pack of Freedom of Religion buttons at afastore.net.
To sharpen the faith of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who don't know Him. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. This is host David Wheaton inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, to pursue that mission as we discuss a compelling topic from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on AFR Talk.
Hey, our Holy Land tour in March is filling up. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We only go one time a year to Israel, and that's in March. And our tour leaves the 9th and gets back on the 17th. And as I say, we don't have a whole lot of space left on this tour. So if you'd like to go with us and see the Holy Land, you need to give us a call at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES with an S, option 5, and leave us your name and your address. We'll send you a brochure or go online at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. Again, we're going to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Jericho and Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River, all those places and much, much more. So join us on this very special tour of Israel in March.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
It's our opportunity to take questions from our listeners. We love to do that. Alex and Bert here, and this is part of the program. We're doing a little extra this week, and we're looking forward to it. Let me remind you, starting Monday of next week, you're going to be able to hear the study of Revelation. And that's 7 days, Alex. And then when we get through with Revelation, there'll be a study of Proverbs. These are pre-recorded, but they're available. And then go to afastore.net. And if you'd like to have that collection, they're available. And on the Proverbs, your book on Proverbs available with that, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. But I wrote a book several years ago for Tyndale Publishers on Proverbs, God's Book of Wisdom. And if you listen to Bert and I, we do the Proverbs study. My book comes with it, very practical, very readable. And we've got the Revelation series. And, you know, one of the things that I love in the book of Revelation in chapter 14, it talks about an angel that flew across the skies of heaven proclaiming the everlasting gospel.
Amen. Amen.
That gospel that Jesus so loved the world, he laid down his life and rose again, and we celebrate his birth just in a couple of weeks. We celebrate Christmas. Look, that is the everlasting good news that Christ loves you and he'll forgive all your sins.
Amen. That means we won't be able to take phone calls, so we're trying to make up for it this week and having two segments of phone calls each day, and we hope that will be all right with you. Okay, let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to Arkansas and talk to JC. JC, welcome.
Hey, you were talking about Peter. I've got a little different take on that. Years ago, I started teaching a Sunday school class, a youth Sunday school class, and we were studying where Peter had denied Christ. And I'm saying to myself, you know, that's terrible. How in the world could you use somebody that denies you? But then I keep reading, and it comes over and says, Jesus looked down from the cross and says, I forgive you. I said, "Wow, boy, if he could forgive him for that, he can forgive him for anything. But how can he still use somebody with that attitude?" Then I start reading in Acts, and after the Pentecost,
amen.
And what did they do? The first day they go out and 3,000 people accepted Christ. So from that, I learned that there's nothing that you can do that can't be forgiven.
Amen, JC. Let me share this with you. That demonstrates, and Alex, you can call in just a little. We got other callers. Him denying Christ, and he had good intentions, showing Peter without the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, and then when they called him here, especially in chapter 3, when they said, "You're not to preach in that name only anymore," and he said, "We can't help but say of the things we've seen and heard," that's Peter with the Holy Spirit. Peter's just like the rest of us. We desperately need his Holy Spirit, don't we?
Oh, that's right. That's right. You make a great point. I mean, because we've all been in this boat, Peter with the Holy Spirit, Peter without. But, you know, God is so tender. And we've talked about this in the Gospel of Mark at the resurrection. You know, the last time we saw Peter, he was denying Christ. Now, at the empty tomb, the angels, Mark 16:7 says, "Go, hurry, tell the disciples and Peter. That he is risen."
Amen.
You'll see him there in Galilee.
So he doesn't mind calling us by name to encourage us, does he?
He's the God of the second, third, tenth, hundredth chance if you'll come to him.
Amen. JC, thank you for your call. That blessed us. And
wonderful
insights. Yeah, in the emotion in your voice, hallelujah. Alex and Bad Because to Bert enjoys that.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Joe. Joe, welcome. Joe, are you there? Okay, we can't get Joe, so let's go to Josh in New Mexico. Josh, welcome.
Oh, boy.
Hey.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Hey, I'll get to the question quick. In the first book of Kings, I've been reading it, and whenever it talks about other gods, you know, lowercase g, I think one of it was like the god of Ashtar. I had the question written down for forever, and I can't remember, but like it had named two different gods, and one was, I think, of Ashnar. Or something like that. Gosh, I can't remember. But anyways, it almost made them sound like they were living entities, because when it described them as evil. And I was wondering, if were these people actually serving something that was like a living spiritual entity, or were they just creating their own rules as they went and used these gods as a kind of as a symbolic symbol of it?
Amen. Good question, Josh. Alex, I got something to say, but I always wind up going first. Go ahead. And okay, these gods that Josh named, tell us about them.
You know, Baal, Ashtoreth, and Molech are the three main gods that are, scholars will say, the rivals to the Hebrew God in the Old Testament. And you know, I do think there, while these idols and statues and these fetishes they would worship are false, they're not really a true and living God, but there were demons behind
it. Bet.
And so when you say, was there some kind of a reality? Let me say this, there's one God, the God of the Bible is the eternal God, the creator of all, but there are some very real supernatural realities. That's why we urge people, you know, things like the occult and meditation and a Ouija board or anything like that, don't go near it.
Amen.
Don't touch it. Because while the Baal is a false god, Ashtoreth and Molech, God was vehement in his warning against these things because they represent Satan and the demons that care one thing, and that's about seeing that you die without the Savior.
Amen. Josh, that's a good question. Let me just add this. Satan does not care if he uses someone who is living, an idol that is nothing but stone. He will put his demons behind anything that will detract from Jesus Christ. Okay? So anytime you have anything like that, an occult, a false god, there's going to be a spiritual aspect behind it of Satan trying to detract and get you off. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy, and he'll do that. So, Josh, thank you for that good question. Let's go to Missouri and talk to Russ. Russ, welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Turn your radio off, be sure, Russ, and go ahead.
I was wondering, hang on. I was wondering, how come you guys, I never hear none of you say the word Holy Ghost? What kind of Bible you been studying out of the old, regular old King James Version?
Okay.
Well, sometimes we do.
Yeah, we do. Let me tell you an experience, and then you take it away, Alex. I was in a church where I was baptizing, and I baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And a lady came up, similar to you, Russ, said, "Man, you're the first pastor I've heard say Holy Ghost in place of Holy Spirit in a long time." Alex, what's the difference in ghost and spirit?
Well, there really isn't a difference. There's a word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, which means spirit. Now, in the King James, they said ghost, but it meant spirit. And so, but we use those terms interchangeably because really, that in the original language, you know, we're talking about the third person of the Trinity. Romans 9 talks about the eternal Spirit of God, the eternal Holy Spirit of God, that's the one to whom we refer.
Amen. So, Russ, really, spirit, ghost, praise the Lord that the Holy Ghost has come into our lives and he lives in us. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Ann. Ann, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. I recently moved, and prior to moving, I was attending an awesome church. And I have struggled trying to find a church that soothe my soul. It seems like several of the churches that I've went to recently in this new community don't really, they pick and choose what they preach. They don't want to discuss politics. They don't want to address gay marriages. It's like they don't want to take a stand against anything controversial. So when that happens, what is a Christian supposed to do? Should we just not attend the church anymore? Is it okay to have a conversation with the preacher to say, ask why he won't address that, or what are you supposed to do in that situation?
Okay, Ann, thank you. Alex, you need to attend church. That's the first thing. And sometimes when you have those that are not completely exactly what you have and you have a choice of four, you take the place where God could use you. It's not necessarily what we get out of it as much as we put into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. God bless you, ma'am, and thank you for your hunger and your desire for the truth. You know, a recent study shortly before the election, this was probably back in about August or September. Listen, preachers that actually preach, you know, what does the Word of God have to say about moral, social, and political issues? 9 to 12% of preachers will address those things. How many parishioners, the congregant that sits in the pew? 74%. 74% of the congregants indicated they wish their pastor would preach on how does the Word of God relate to these political, social, and moral issues. So you're quite correct, ma'am, that a lot of preachers, they just won't touch it. And I don't want to pick on the preachers, but having been a pastor twice, I know if you lay the cards on the table, you're going to ruffle some feathers. But, Bert, let me say this, and you've been a pastor far longer than I ever was. We really need to worry about pleasing God, not placating man. Am I right?
You are right. Listen, I wasn't that pastor. I just preached through the Bible, and when you preach through the Bible, you're going to get on those issues. You know, you don't force it. You can't help but do it. You've got to purposely avoid it is what you got to do. I would first pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? And when I got the timing right in a good spirited way, I would go to my pastor and I'd say, Pastor, I just want to encourage you to preach on the Word. I appreciate what you do. You give the salvation message. You talk about discipleship. I appreciate that. But when you come upon issues that have to deal with the issues of the day, I'm praying that God would give you a word. Put it on them. Don't try to correct them, but do it in a way of encouragement. That would be my suggestion, Ann. Mm-hmm. And that goes a lot further. And then the Holy Spirit can take that, I believe, and he can use that in that person. Because if you've done that, that lets him know there's somebody out there, that would like to hear that. And I think there's more than just you. Alex, let's try to get one more call in. We tried to get Joe on earlier. He's back with us. Joe, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thanks. Can you hear me all right now?
Yes, sir. I'm glad now,
okay,
brother.
Great. Well, listen, I do appreciate, brothers, I appreciate both of you very much. I listen to you every chance I get. I had a question about transformational churches. Recently, I heard a spot, and I was hoping it was on AFR, and I'm not sure. I think it was someone, my church is the Southern Baptist Church, and we're sort of... if you look at the graph, we're sort of on the backside of the graph as far as, the life of a church. Most of our members are 50 or above. We do have a few young people and a few young families. And I just want, Bert and Alex, I wanted to ask what you thought about the transformational church. We're looking right now, I'm part of a committee, and we're going to be looking at that. To go to that, we're a strictly conventional Baptist church. We have a conventional service. We've sort of incorporated a little bit of a praise service in it. We've got a youth program, but I would not call it very dynamic. First of all, do you know who did the spot on AFR? It was, they ran it a week or so ago, and I never did catch they were talking about, churches dying and everything in the transformational church. Did either one of you hear that?
Okay, Joe, let me answer one thing. If you'll hold on and give your phone number to Cedra, we'll try to find out who said that, first of all. Alex, transformational church, God does wants to transform us. Is it talking about individuals or is it talking about the whole ministry?
Well, I think he might be talking about the book that was put out by Tom Rainer and Lifeway and Ed Stetzer, some very respected, scholars related to the health of the church. But let me just say this, and whether or not you go through that assessment tool, because the transformational church that Lifeway printed, and again, these guys, I don't know if you know these names, like Tom Rainer and Ed Stetzer.
They are great men that God has called in the
really
Lifeway,
are.
And yes, they are.
But you know what? Let me just say this. Many studies are out there of some people that love the Lord, love the church, and here are some common characteristics of the churches that really are growing. And I mean, I could quote all sorts of experts, but here's the thing: the churches that are growing are based on the Bible, the Word of God. They preach the Word of God. They're missional. In other words, they just have this passion to reach unsaved people, and all kinds of people of all kinds of age groups get involved in evangelism. But then one of the characteristics is they really do have high expectations. Nobody's just a spectator, but everybody gets involved. And then finally, there's prayer. That'll transform your church.
Amen. That, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it still may be available at Lifeway stores, the transformational church. If not, you could probably find it, Joe. We'll try to find out who said that. It may have been something, but we'll do our best. Thank you for all the callers, man. We did great today. Appreciate you, your input. We're going to be back tomorrow with more of Exploring the Word, and we're going to take your questions again. So tell someone about this program and about this network. But more importantly, what do they need to do, Alex?
Tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.